Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. There was a lot going on in the world of football, including, Mike, the numbers that came in over the weekend. How many Americans, how many folks watched this game between the Eagles, or should I say the Bills and the Chiefs?
Now, they're like 30 million, but the big one that everybody knew was going to be huge, 57.7 million Americans watching the Bills and the Chiefs, and it did not disappoint.
No, not at all. We got exactly what we thought we might get. We're going to talk more about our Falcons this hour, of course, brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football, guys. It's Tuesday, which means buy one, get one half off traditional wings. You can do that with B-Dubs.
By the way, I said I was off by 10. 44.2 million watched the NFC Championship game, but 57.7 watching the AFC.
Yeah, because it was more entertaining. I mean, the blowout early and late in the fourth quarter there, and you saw, I think, people ready for the next game.
Right.
Either way, remarkable numbers, and it's why we love the league. By the way, before we get to Jeff Olbrich and more about what he's attempting to do and now what is he going to do, Cliff Kingsbury has declined the Saints job. Nobody wants this job. He has decided to stay in Washington a second season after, of course, this remarkable turnaround. They go to the NFC Championship game. Kingsbury is staying put.
You and I were talking about this yesterday in fourth and one, saying that, maybe, you continue to roll with your boy because you got the best young weapon in football, and then you get a better stock of jobs potentially opening up next year, and maybe you can plug right in because, they got a major cap hit. You're stuck with a quarterback that doesn't work. They got a lot of injuries and money tied into guys like Taysom Hill and Cam Jordan at the end of his run. So, yeah, Saints are a hot mess, man.
Yeah. Want to mention it because everybody's like, oh, they'll get a guy. Well, that's a hot candidate right there, and he's declined. Now, they did interview Kellen Moore today, as a matter of fact.
Okay, there you go.
But no word as to whether he's going to take the job. Now, again, he's playing in the, his team's playing in the Super Bowl, so maybe they'll wait till after the Super Bowl's over.
Hmm.
But I don't even know if that's going to happen. We shall see. All right, let's talk about our new defensive coordinator, because he said something very interesting to Mike yesterday, and I want to play it for you so you can get a sense of what we're talking about, and then we'll talk about it, because with the defense right now, what happens after he spoke to us, he came on Andy and Randy, the full interview is online at odyssey.com. Now it is about, Mike, going back and taking a look at what worked, what didn't, who played well, who didn't. You just can't come in and say, I'm redoing this whole thing and not know who actually played well. So he's going to scour the tape and do all the stuff and look at all the games. That's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. And then that's going to get us to, guys, believe it or not, we'll be done with the Super Bowl. We'll be talking about pro days and combine and all the stuff that is going to lead up to the draft. But, Mike, he said this about when he became a head coach, and it piqued your interest. Here's what Jeff Olbrich said yesterday.
Not just as a defensive coordinator, really as an assistant to Ra, too. I learned even more than I knew the value of truth tellers on your staff. I think sometimes as an assistant coach, you take it as, I'm going to eliminate every problem from the head coach's table so he can just thrive and do his thing. When in reality, like, yeah, there's some things you need to take off a head coach's table. There's certain things that need to be told to the head coach that are occurring. Because a lot of times what I found in that interim role was, although it was interim, it was like I felt the shift and the way people talked to me and treated me and what they said to me and the lack of truth sometimes was really detrimental, you know. So it reinforced the idea that Ra's going to need me in that way to make sure that I'm always telling him the truth and maybe, you know, eliminating some of the blind spots that he doesn't see.
Yeah, man. And you and I were talking earlier. I said to Carl, I said, did you hear that? Because we didn't really comment on it yesterday and get a chance to kind of think more about what he was saying. So you're the man, you know the personnel, and then all of a sudden you get kicked up to the coaching level, the head boss, and all of a sudden there's a filter. And guys, now bad news doesn't travel up, and now you're not getting the no-nonsense assessment. So if he's going to bring that kind of approach, I mean, like, I would have preferred somebody outside the family, but I understand why they did it. I love it. If he brings that kind of no-nonsense approach to Ra to say, look, you're trying to do X with Y, and he can't do that job. That's great. I think Falcon fans, that's one thing we should be excited about.
Now, I asked you this, and we do not know. This is just me speculating. But was that not going on with Jimmy Lake? Was Jimmy Lake saying, we're fine. No, he can do it. He can do it. And then after the bye week, Ra jumped in there and things got better, especially getting after the quarterback from that aspect. Now, look, they still made mistakes and there were communication breakdowns, which is why we lost the last few games we did. But, Mike, it makes me wonder, like, when he says that, no truth, you know, got to be a truth teller. I'm like, okay, was that not going on? Because if it wasn't, then that kind of explains some of the stuff that may have been happening through the course of this season.
Well, two ways of looking at it. You hired a guy who's never done this at the NFL level, and as we know, defensive coordinator, any coordinator job is very difficult.
Yeah.
Was Jimmy Lake in over his head? And Ra's like, you got this, right, Jimmy? Yeah, you got this? Jimmy, I'm taking over. You know, I mean, I don't know. Was Ra like, he's good, he's fine, oh God! You know, he's got to get in there. So, you know, it goes both ways, because I do know that Coach Ra likes to maintain, like Dan Quinn did, all is well. All is well. You know, and we all knew.
Well, in season,
yeah,
no coach is going to kill their coordinator.
No, and he did take over. He's not going to sit there and go, I had a, you know, like Al Haig. You know, President Reagan's in the hospital. I'm taking over.
That's,
you know,
right.
You can't do that either. I get that. But, yeah, I love that. Like, if Ulbrich is bringing in his latest time round out with the Falcons, a no BS, no glossing over, just tell it like it is and help the coach and the general manager evaluate and get the town leader that can do the job, if that's the case.
Do you buy what he said about the base defense and that, you know, some of the things that they were doing, not just here, just around the league, things change. And we played the soundbite for you yesterday, and where some of this stuff is irrelevant. And, you know, you look at the Falcons, and they still need to find certain players to fit the scheme. Guys, I'm going to tell you, and this just is one example of many, but this is probably one of the best. 6'1", 280 pounds. He was too small. Matter of fact, team said he can't play in the league. I don't care what he did in college, and he dominated in college. Talking about Aaron Donald. Guys, all pro every year he was in the league. Defensive player multiple times. Super Bowl champion and one of, if not the best defensive lineman to ever do it. You think the Rams knew they were getting that when they drafted him? Sometimes, Mike, you just fall into a guy fitting what you do, and then he's just damn good. We have not fallen into that. We have not had those opportunities where we've drafted and all of a sudden we have a megastar on the defensive side of the football. So when we talk about the scheme, and I've been saying 3-4-4-3, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Give me dudes and then allow Jeff Ulbrich to fit those pieces in accordingly.
Now, but I hope that Jeff talked about it, to your point, that, you know, you're in nickels so much and other looks and diamond because it's such a passing league. That does sort of become an anachronistic argument. But it was enough of an argument to keep us from going the direction we should have gone, which is T.J. Watt. Now, he was part of that defense, at least the input. There was input to Dimitroff. Dimitroff ultimately made the decision. But input was rendered by Ulbrich that said Tack McKinley is a better fit for what we're doing, which we all know, obviously, was a huge fail. So sometimes good, sometimes bad. Hope you learn from your mistakes. Doesn't define you. But if, for instance, Raheem Morris, he's part of that group that goes and gets Byron Young and Kobe Turner. You just talked about
it.
Then augmented even better by Braden Fisk and Verse in the first round this year.
Well, they doubled down.
Right. And you're thinking, and we're hoping that's what the Falcons did, you know, and we just didn't get to see it, I guess, because of the injuries. But we think we've got some guys in Rook, Aroro, Rowe, Braylon Trice, Dorless, You know, those are three guys that are taking the first 110 picks. They got to be impact guys.
Those guys have to get – they have to continue to develop whatever they got last year. And one of them was hurt. So, you know, we didn't get anything from him on the field. That doesn't mean he didn't get the mental reps and wasn't around the team. But those guys have to be developed. That is another part of this, all right, what defense are we playing? And, you know, what about the pieces to fit a certain scheme? Well, how about developing guys to become the best players that they can become to help the scheme?
Right.
That's the other part. It's not like you just draw up some stuff, guys, and you go, this is going to work. You still have to have guys.
Now, as you said it, I mean, like, there were certain guys who passed the eye test. Remember, we went round and round and D-la-la-la-la-la-too. We talked about Jared Verse. I thought Verse would be the guy. Some guys, you know, there were other players. Dallas Turner was the name because he came from Alabama, made sense. But he didn't have probably the least impactful of the guys that were known going in pre-draft.
Agreed. Now,
but doesn't define them either.
There's no, because we're talking about rookie seasons. And this is the part where, again, whether it's Trice or Rook or Brendan Dorlus, I got to give this a little time. I know we all want it right now, but let me see what this turns out to be. Some guys have impactful rookie years. You mentioned Verse. Great. That doesn't mean that Latu eventually won't turn into a great edge rusher in the NFL as he did in college and all the hype surrounding him because he was the first guy taken off the board.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It takes a little bit more time than others.
But you get 18 sacks from Byron Young and Kobe Turner. Those guys were taken third round.
Combined.
I mean, that's what's happening. Those guys were elite. They continued again this year. Now, again, if Rook can be the guy, I don't want to hear project. I don't want to hear upside. I want to hear proven. All right. This is a very deep, supposed very deep draft. Sometimes drafts are described as one thing, Carl. Then, you know, 5 years later, you find out that wasn't the case. But this is one where everyone pretty much agrees it's not a great quarterback draft. Luckily, we got that covered. But it is a deep defensive tackle and edge rush and outside linebacker draft. So go get some guys who can plug in and be the impact guy that we have not had here in years. Let's be real. Vic Beasley, despite all the shortcomings, came in here in the second year at 15 and a half sacks and almost propelled you to a Super Bowl.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, till the end.
No, I mean, I'm saying because without his 16 sacks, we don't get there.
And him and Dwight, somebody put it up there on social media today, and it was amazing. It's like Vic's all his sacks. It's like ferocious.
Yeah,
I mean that Denver game, every strong guy's around like it's a John Wayne movie in a bar.
You thought he was going to be a different dude, like a difference maker. That's what I'm talking about. That one season made you believe, oh, we got a guy, and then it turned out to not be that. Those are the kind of things they're going to have to figure out as Jeff Olbrich continues to evaluate this team. And again, some of this stuff, maybe they believe might, like you just talked about, some of the guys we're mentioning, maybe it's in-house. Maybe they believe in these pieces more than we do because we haven't seen enough of them. But I said this last year. I actually liked our draft last year. I liked Rook. I thought he's a good pick at the time. The Trice and Dorless thing, we got to see what that turns out to be.
I just thought there were so many corners that we needed, and we didn't get good corner play opposite A.J. Terrell. And it was a run on corners, and we went with a guy that was not projected to be a second rounder. So I'll disagree with you on that.
Well, here's the thing. You still had a chance to go get a corner. They chose not to. I mean, even after the Rook pick.
They went defensive tackle, and they went line and linebacker.
Yeah, you could have done that because it was defense, defense, defense. All right, we're coming back. Strong Arm Story of the Day is next. Well, the Hawks gave it a good effort last night. They come up short against the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tonight it's the Rockets. Rockets are second in the Western Conference, by the way. They're playing really well. They beat the Celtics last night. And then they get a tough stretch where they're at Cleveland, at Indiana, at Detroit. And, Mike, again, last night you were limited. A big shout-out to DeAndre Hunter. He showed up, played well. But they just didn't have enough firepower. That's been the issue, hasn't it?
No, I mean, DeAndre was questionable. Another question about his game, as you mentioned, 35 points. He was doing everything he could do. Clint Capella off the bench with a double-double, 10 and 15. He was actually one of the guys, good things was happening, who was on the floor.
Yep.
But you're right. You can't win without – there is nobody on this roster that can do what Jalen Johnson does. And unfortunately, it just seems like anytime there's an injury, you know, it's not like the NFL, at least were in previous issues with the Hawks. We know, okay, he's out for a month or he's out for X amount of days. It just seems like you can't bank on Jalen Johnson, these guys being out there every night.
No, Jalen is out tonight again, left shoulder injury. We had Lauren Williams on earlier. She covers a team for the AJC. No prognosis as to how long this is going to be or no update as of right now. Also, Trae Young listed, Mike, as questionable for tonight. Right hamstring tightness is what they're saying. So,
and you know, we talked about this earlier. You know, the Rockets were in such a bad – you know, it's amazing. We always say in the NBA, if you don't get it right, you're stuck there forever. Well, the Rockets got it right. They got the right coach, and you said it. They drafted so well. Udoka is a genius. They got young talent. They're athletic.
They are.
And that's what we got to deal with coming up tonight.
Yeah, they're athletic. The athleticism is real, man. They got high flyers on that team, and they're playing together. You know, they're playing connected. So it's kind of interesting because I think that was maybe they're a year ahead of schedule. Right. I don't know, Mike, when you start talking about, okay, I thought they'd be good, but not until next year. Either way, they're not going to lay down tonight, especially after that big win last night.
That second half they had last year, you know, after the All-Star break, all
they
of a sudden,
turned it on.
I feel like, whoa, because we saw it up close and personal. So, yeah, but right now they are 6 games out of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference. We are stuck. The good news is, despite all the things we just talked about, you know, nobody else is blowing real doors right now in the Eastern Conference. Just a game and a half out of where the Heat are at 6 and 3.5 games out of where the Pacers are at 5. If you could just But as you say, how are you going to get on a run? Right now they've lost five in a row. How are you going to get on a run if you can't get these guys on the floor?
No doubt. Let me ask you this while we're talking about the Hawks real quick, and we're going to get back into some NFL conversation. Coaching hires today, by the way, Eberflus hired by the Cowboys as their DC. We'll talk more about that and who's backing out of jobs that are being offered. Mike, what if I told you the Golden State Warriors would get Jimmy Butler?
What?
Would you give them another chance to go get another chip?
Yes. Definitely.
Me too.
Now, here's the thing. Is Jimmy going to punch out Draymond?
Good question.
I'd pay money to be in that locker room.
Good question.
Right.
They are a team that has the draft picks to do it, the talent in exchange maybe for the short term for Miami if you're going to make a trade, which is probably, you know, what's going to happen. Listen, Miami is not going to give him up for anything, for nothing. But there's this rumor out there that is the that's the team that immediately gets better. He helps Steph Curry and company. You remember, they got Dennis Schroeder, laugh if you want to. Right. Like, they've tried to upgrade some areas. And I'm just saying, like, to me, that sounds like the – now, that's one of the teams, too. He was like, I'll go there. Because he says this is it for him. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
Clippers are 26-20. Golden State's 22-23. So they're basically 3.5-4 games out of the last locked-in spot. Not in that play-in nonsense.
Yep.
And if you feel, you know, where you've got – is this the last go-round for Steph and company, right? And
I do.
And then you go get Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
They've always found a way. In the early days, it was getting veterans like Andre Iguodala. You know, they always had the right guy. But do they have enough? Are they athletic enough? Can the OGs summon it when they go up against these young Bucks, all these guys above the rim that are in the Western Conference?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, you're still talking about, what, Denver and Minnesota.
Memphis is how Ja Morant is on the floor and things are good between his ears, and Memphis is good.
The Rockets, if they can continue to, like, yeah, you're right. That's going to be the challenge. But I'm throwing that out there to say trade deadline is February 6th. I know Hawks fans were like, okay, what are we going to try to do? Listen, in our predicament, would you do something?
Well, we talked with Lauren about this, and you know, I've been banging the drum, boom, 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 about, you know, hey, when, granted, this one we were like, you know, locked in, like we were in fifth or sixth place and we're looking good. And all of a sudden, remember back in December, we're like, man, this team has really got things cooking. Jalen Johnson, DeAndre's playing
good.
Like we wanted DeAndre to play. He's finally living up to being the fourth overall pick. And then this injury bug, we say this about the front office, whether it's the old regime or not, they just can't seem to get the guys to stay healthy. We talked about it, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, everybody in Minnesota has played in like 44 or 45 games. You know, I mean, only Conley missed a couple of games. Everybody else had started or played in every game Minnesota's played in. Now, granted, they'll get into load management after the All-Star break once they're locked in, but they've earned that right. The Hawks are just kind of middling right now, and I got to be honest, as much as I'm always on Wrestler to show you've got a heart, prime the pump, put some money into it, how can you validate putting money into this thing when I go get you some guys, we get into the luxury tax apron, and for what? Guys are going to get greased in the first round.
Right.
Because we can't stay healthy.
Yeah. That's listen, if we had all of our guys on the floor, right, and none of this stuff was looming, because the big one, to be honest, is Jalen. Is Jalen out another week or is Jalen out 6 weeks?
Mm.
And without knowing that for sure, Mike, but if we had all of those pieces, I would feel really good and I would be banging the drum to go and improve this team. And it would probably include trading potentially Bogey or Capella. It just would. But where we currently are, I'm having a hard time saying, oh, yeah, let's go make a deal. Because the team, just like early in the season when everybody was killing us, and I said, the team's not healthy. Wait till they get healthy and then let's evaluate.
Right.
They got healthy and started playing some really good ball. That's when they're beating Cleveland and the Celtics. And then now you're kind of back to where you were to start the year where DeAndre was out, right, for 10 games. And so I'm reluctant to say you need to go make a big move right now.
The best the Hawks have been, and it's happened twice this year, we've been 3 games over .500.
Yep.
So when we beat the Celtics in overtime, and then since then it's all been downhill with the 5-game losing streak, that put us at 22-19. So the best the Hawks have been is 3 games over. If I'm Wrestler, as much as I bellyache about him not getting in and spending the money, I don't know, man. I guess I can't. Unless it's just, yeah, hope you get a spark and you make a move, a salary for salary, you don't take on any money, right?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not giving up the ship, but I just feel like, man, this thing's sliding, it's slipping away.
We're
in the middle of a 5-game losing streak.
The timing sucks because you're not going to get healthy enough to evaluate, to make a move. It's probably going to happen after the trade deadline. And so let's just say everybody gets back, right? Knock wood. Let's just say Jalen, everybody comes back. And we don't know that.
it's after the trade deadline, and then you go, man, I wish we would have did something. But you didn't know what it was going to look like. So right now, I think they're in limbo. That's where I feel. And by the way, I'm not making excuses for Landry Fields. Like, we're in limbo now.
If I'm an NBA owner, I get it. Not everybody's going to spend crazy. I mean, the Dodgers in baseball, that's one thing. But, you know, there are teams in the NBA. But you got to smell it.
Yeah.
Smell it. You got to be close.
Can you smell
what the Hawks are not cooking? Yeah, I mean, you got to have a whiff that, okay, we got something cooking here. You know, if we were like, again, if we're in the fourth spot right now, locked in, oh, yeah.
Different.
Let's go. Yeah. Take Capella's expiring contract. Let's try to upgrade the front court, get a better backup for Trey. But it's hard to see him doing it. And guys, I just want to repeat what Carl said. We're not trying to sound like we're making excuses for the team. You know us, we kill the Hawks on a regular basis. But how are you going to validate it when you're doing this?
That's it. It's all over.
Okay, come on, Steve. Come on. 404-726-0929.
Because if you look where we are in the standings, you know, and now here's the thing. If the Heat don't get something right for Butler, you could argue they're going to drop out.
They are.
You know, and there are other teams that we are very similar to. But, you know, we've seen the Pistons look pretty good at times. They're kind of in the same boat we are. You know, Magic is, they've sort of turned things around. But no one's really in that middle pack. Pacers are 25-20, and everybody else we could probably leapfrog. If you make the right moves and stay healthy, which we haven't.
Well,
so we're right back to where we started.
Here's the deal. Like, and I don't think this is happening just because of the nature of who we're playing. But if you were to keep your you know, head afloat through this stretch of games, let's just say we beat the Rockets tonight. Mike, didn't we go beat Cleveland again? Wow.
Which you've done. You've shown
twice.
That's the thing that drives you crazy. We make the Raptors look like the Harlem Globetrotters, one of the worst road teams in the NBA.
Right.
But meanwhile, we can beat the Celtics, can beat the Knicks, you know, can beat Cleveland, and then crap the bed against the bad teams.
Beat Indiana. And then all of a sudden, like, you're telling me, okay, this stretch of games that is really difficult where you're not 100%, you may go 500. That's now it's a different deal. But the scary part of this is that may not happen, and this losing streak may turn into 6, 7, 8 games. Mm.
That's it. It's all over.
Come on, Steve. 404-726-0929. Hit us up. Find us on social media.
See,
Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929.
And by the way, if you are heading to the arena today and you see Steve in his broadcast position, again, you've got to get the context. That is from a game earlier in the year. It's not a reflection. Steve did not say that this season is over.
No. That's it. It's all over.
Because I know. He lives and dies with his team. He is the longest tenured play-by-play announcer. And I just know how this gets back. It becomes a telephone game. Someone's going to walk up to Steve right by the, you know, the bar is up there and go, yo, I heard on Duke's Bell, you said season's over. I just know how you guys are. You provocateurs out there.
All right, man. We got plenty more to dive into here on the show. We are glad that you are here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. The road to the big game, guys. We got to talk about it. And the concern for the Chiefs. Look, we got a few weeks before this thing goes down on February 9th. But they have a major concern, and especially facing the Eagles. I'm going to tell you what that is. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's it. It's all over.
If I'm a Chiefs fan and I'm thinking about the Super Bowl and you're like, we beat these guys a couple of years ago. Ah, we'll do it again. Slow your roll. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Different team, lots of the same players, but lots of different players. And one of the areas of concern for the Chiefs is making sure that Patrick Mahomes is upright. Guys, he was sacked 36 times in the regular season. Believe it or not, they're back in the Super Bowl, but that's the most he's been sacked in his career. Another 5 times in the playoffs. Here's the concern, Mike, because this Eagles defense, and you guys, we've been talking about it, whether it's Jordan Davis or Jalen Carter, or, you know, these guys coming up from the outside, Josh Sweat and company, they get after it. And Joe Tooney, who's been playing left tackle, Mike, has been somewhat suspect, but he has not the only one. He's been playing left guard. He's a left guard. They moved him to tackle. And, guys, they've changed that position 3 different times this year where they've had 3 different guys try to play it, and they had issues. I don't know if Tooney's going to be there probably when the Super Bowl rolls around here, you know, on February 9th, Mike. But I'm telling you right now, if you are saying, hey, Mahomes will be fine and, you know, he has escapability and all that stuff, man, the Eagles, this is their strength, or at least one of them, Mike, and I think this may be a weakness for the Chiefs.
Right. I mean, how many memes have you seen about Juwan Taylor's false starts for the Chiefs, right? The big man, he rocks back, and, you know, everyone sees it. That's another one of those calls they get away with. But, yeah, they've had some issues there at the line. But then again, some would say that's mitigated because they got Patrick Mahomes, who can make guys miss and can buy time outside the hash marks in the pocket, and Andy Reid will come up with something. But you're right. This Philadelphia Beagles team, right, with all the dogs on it, is just – it's better. I mean, all these guys have matured from, you know, it's two of the last three, as you mentioned, the Eagles have gone to the Super Bowl, but this team just has it. Remember, they really couldn't stop Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts doesn't, I know I say it all the time, he doesn't fumble, they're back in sequence with scoring and they win that game.
That's right.
And then the Chiefs just 8 o'clock in the end kicked the field goal. But yeah, I mean, I know you asked me earlier, I would lean towards the Eagles right now. We got two more weeks to figure this one out. But and everyone's talking about Spagnuolo. What Spag's going to come up with? Well, again, you know, what is Kellen Moore going to come up with to kind of get his guys in a place to make? How do you stop Saquon Barkley?
I don't know. Nobody has this year.
Seriously,
nobody has.
You know, that's and then AJ Brown. You got so many big weapons. Devontae, you it goes without saying. And Dallas Goedert. I mean, those are rock stars. You know, we kind of think if Pitts was his thing, we'd have the similar kind of makeup, yes, of our team.
Yeah, I agree. N'Kobe Dean's on IR, but they still have Nolan Smith. And, you know, to your point about all these dogs that are contributing. And the secondary is good, man. I mean, Mitchell's been solid at the left corner. We talked about Gardner Johnson, who's been there at safety. And then Darius Slay is well-respected and a hell of a player. And then you had Cooper DeJean. This defense is going to challenge Mahomes in a different way than they did a few years ago, Mike. That's right. Just what it is.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean is like this hybrid sort of safety corner that can do run support, but then, you know, won't get embarrassed if he is asked to cover. That's what makes him so athletic.
Yeah, I think when we, you know, get to a little bit deeper into this and we start talking about, to your point about the Saquon Barkley thing, look, you got to pick your poison. We said this about, you know, the teams that were going to, like the Commanders. You have to say, okay, I don't know if Jalen Hurts, and by the way, two more weeks, he'll be healthy. Okay, whatever you saw.
Right.
You
that didn't knee bent backwards.
Yeah,
right.
He's going to be fine. But going into last week, it was, okay, I don't think he's healthy. Let's make him throw the ball and stack the box and not have Saquon go off. And then the first play of the game, he breaks one. So I'm not sure, but I will tell you, if anybody can figure it out, it's Spags. And Steve Spagnuolo has been tremendous. He was up for a couple of head coaching jobs, but – guys, he's the best defensive coordinator, and I don't know, Mike, just because it is Mahomes, if he gets the credit he deserves, but you said it. Maybe the play of the game last week was not on the offense. It was on the defensive side.
Right.
It was the blitz.
Right. We talked about it and how quickly, you know, they were all over, you know, again, by now everyone's seen the video and how quickly they're all over Josh Allen. And Josh Allen still almost gets a testament to his athleticism.
Yep.
That's why I invoked Peyton Manning. You know, great quarterbacks lose championship games, doesn't define them. Eventually Peyton got there and Josh will get there. But he gets that ball out there. And man, if Kincaid can come up with that, and it did hit him, it did kind of cup it under his arms. But the reason the Chiefs are saying, like, will allow a free run on the tight end because there's no way he's going to get that ball to him. And again, they didn't send all the corners. It wasn't a complete jailbreak, but they sent that corner. It was so well disguised. It was unbelievable. He's right on him. That's the stuff that he did, and that's why Romo was just kind of gushing because it's like so innovative, something you hadn't seen all game, and they pull it out at the moment of truth.
Well, you got to pick your spots, right? And I'll give you an example. This is why I think the Bills failed. Early in the game, short yardage, fourth and one, third and one. Bill said, we're doing the tush push. We're going to do the Josh thing over here.
This no imagination.
This is what we're going to do over here. We're going to do it all game. And they showed their hand. The Chiefs, in that moment, Mike, playing your zone, playing little man, playing your zone. And then they did that. You got to pick your spots. And that's the brilliance of this, not going all in early and saying, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it all game. Because eventually the Chiefs stopped it when they needed to.
But that's that phrase you always hear, and coaches say, and fans kind of roll their eyes. And we even heard Ulbrich say, you know, self-scout and look at it. But that's where, if you are Joe Brady and company, you got outsmarted. Because we said it, and Romo was all over it, talked about this. Look, this is the tendencies. If you watch the film, this is how Buffalo executes their short yardage. Josh is going over the left guard. And that's why, you know, aside from the one play where they kicked it out to James Cook, and he makes an unbelievable leap in the end zone. That's why I was railing yesterday. James Cook was just a one-man gang. I know he was a little banged up. They taped up the ankles. But I just think I guess the argument, if you're Buffalo, I'm going to lose with the ball in Josh Allen's hands and he's the size of a friggin' linebacker. Yeah. I just thought, man, it was too.
But you got to help him out.
It was too predictable. You just said it. The unpredictability of the Chiefs versus the predictability of the Bills, and you don't put the ball in James Cook's hands. He only touches the ball like two or three times down the stretch. Was dumb.
It's also the brilliance of Andy Reid. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, think about all these kooky formations and sets that they've run over the years, right? You know, guys are running around in the backfield, and you're like, what are these guys doing? Some of that is for show. Some of it is just for, we're going to give you a different look, so when we get down here later in the season, you got to prepare for it. Mike, I used to talk about Kyle Shanahan all the time, setting you up for later in the game. Andy Reid does the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. And so that is the thing. Like, we line up one way, and you go, okay, I think they're going to do this. And then they do something completely different, and it's wide open because it's unexpected. They did it last Super Bowl. They did it on Sunday. And they'll try to do it again against the Eagles in 2 weeks.
So right now, I mean, do you think the money's going to come over to the Eagles on this one? I mean, you feel right now, or you feel more fans familiar with the Chiefs will then throw it at the Chiefs,
well,
and the number goes up?
Mahomes has reached Brady status with, I don't bet against him. So you have a lot of bettors who are going to just sit and say the same thing we said for years with Brady. He doesn't lose these games. I can't bet against him. And then you have the other side of that, and that's the crowd that goes, okay, he's got to lose one, and this is going to be the one because this team is built to beat him, and so therefore I'm going to go against him. But this is really about betting for or against Patrick Mahomes. That's it.
Yeah, playing in his fifth Super Bowl at age 29, losing to Brady in the first one, you know, and you think, okay, all right. I mean, this guy is now crossed over, and Andy Reid now is up there in the Belichick conversation because, you know, it's
– well, he's two wins away from the all-time playoff wins.
And not to mention Belichick, you know, did it. You know, yeah, his Cleveland experience was a serious learning curve. That's why they fired him. Whereas Andy Reid eventually got, but did everything but win a Super Bowl in Philadelphia and took them 2-1. So, yeah, all of a sudden you get into the conversation, and also we get the impression that Andy does it the right way. Right. You got to have a great quarterback. You go back to Bill Walsh. He had Joe Montana. Everybody, Bradshaw was calling his own plays for the Steelers. People forget that, you know, for Chuck Knoll.
Yeah.
But Andy Reid, that's why I said you and I were talking about, is there like a Chiefs fatigue thing? No, man, I'm down with it for one more roundup. Okay. Once more around the track with the Chiefs. And then maybe I'll say, all right, I'll throw in the towel. By the way, if you missed Guy Talk, the Chiefs do have an edge on the Eagles. Because they beat Kirk Cousins. Anybody who lost to Kirk Cousins, the farthest the team's got that lost to Kirk Cousins was the 49ers, who did lose to the Chiefs, who got beat by Kirk Cousins in the regular season.
You believe it?
If you're looking for something goofy, but I mean, I don't think it has any bearing because I think this is a better. I think the Chiefs are the same. They're less dynamic offensively, but the Eagles are better.
I agree. That's exactly where I'm at. 404-726-0929. The good news is they get to prove it, and we all get to sit back and watch and see what this is going to look like. But as we continue to talk about this game that I think is going to get a monster number two, Mike, by the way.
Right.
It's rare where you get two teams that put on a great Super Bowl 2 years ago that are now back and you have familiarity and guys that you know. Like half the team, for most of these, both teams, are back. You know the Kelce's and the Mahomes and like some of that stuff hasn't changed. Jalen Hurts was the quarterback. The Barkley, Saquon wasn't there, but AJ was there. Right? There's a lot of familiarity.
Came over from over Tennessee.
I think it's going to get a monster number when it's all said and done. And the way that happens, obviously, is if it turns out to be a good game. And if it's a three-point game again, Mike, it comes down to the end, everybody will be, you know, online talking about
it. What about halftime? Kendrick Lamar. Some people not blown away by that.
Does he have a special guest? Has that been announced?
They haven't said it yet, but they'll be, you know, they're always throwing the cameos.
Is it SZA? Okay, yeah, because I had saw some. Yeah, all right. So, well, look. Again, you know me, Mike. You're not going to please everybody.
We're not talking football. We're just talking the entire entertainment
package. Yeah. You're not going to please everybody. I don't know, unless you're doing this mashup of various genres. Right. I don't know how you please everybody, but, you know, is he a big enough star to handle it? Yeah, he is.
Carl, they don't speak to me, the rock and roll fan.
Yeah.
They just, I mean, we're out of the mix. Yeah, they have like Maroon 5, you know, it's pop music. I don't know, can you work Lenny Kravitz into this thing? Give me something.
What about you as the hater, Mike? Because there'll be a whole bunch of Drake hate this halftime show. Mike the hater, will he appreciate that?
Yes, I will. And again, if you're new to the show, I'm generally a ball of positive energy when it comes to the Falcons until it's time to not be. And that generally starts before camp. And this year I have sworn that we will not give you positive energy. At least you're getting any positivity if we're going to be doing the shows at Hooters again this year. It's coming from Carl Dukes.
Well,
I'm going to be over here on the side. Arms are crossed. I don't believe it until I see it.
First of all, I don't believe that. Positivity to a certain extent. I mean, listen, it depends on what we do this offseason. By the way, and we've talked about this, this is what's different. This internet fame is different. Chris just mentioned to me, and we said this about The Weeknd. Like, people are like, The Weeknd? Kendrick Lamar weekly has 84 million listeners or at least downloads to his music. Weekly.
Oh, you know, I'm out of the demographic. Look, you know, anybody over the age of 34, they don't give a crap as far as the halftime show.
But the point is, do they? I don't know about that. I would say that the point is we don't pay attention to that stuff. And because of how music is now with the downloads, Mike, and the views and all of this, it's just different. And so when you start putting that into context, you go, what's that equate to worldwide? Like, these artists are big enough. It's like with Usher, and people are like questioning that. Usher not big enough to play Super Bowl? Come on.
Age. I just found an Advertising Age article from 2 years ago. Obviously, the NFL, 18 to 49 is the sweet spot.
It is.
You know, they're talking about 18 to 34. And for females, it is 18 to 44 as far as, you know, if there was ever going to be market research about what you're trying to get to and who's going to be the, you know, the difference maker, that's why what you're looking for are the pop artists at halftime.
The NFL is weird, though, Mike, because you know what? Usually older demographics spend the most money. Mm. Younger NFL viewers spend a lot of money. They go to games. They travel. They do all this stuff, too. It's one of the weird things about the NFL that, you know, when you start talking about, you know, a clientele and trying to service this particular group, you just talked about it. That group, that young demo spends money on the NFL.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, we've talked about this before. We got 2 weeks to prep this, but you guys know the drill. You know, when we were younger, the halftime show sucked, and then it got good, and then they got freaked out because Janice Nipples' boobie popped out, and then we went back to, like, it was like the Hall of Presidents. Let's bring back the Stones and Bruce Springsteen and The Who. And then they bring it back the other way, and now we've gotten to the point where, it's certainly contemporary. I thought the LA show was pretty awesome. You know, we think about all the West Coast stuff. That was one of my personal faves. We know what Prince. We've spent time on that. But yeah, like I said, there's just certain folks like out there. If you don't know, and I'm not going to lie to you guys. We all have our certain genres we dig music wise. So I'm one. I'll be like, okay, I'll dig it. I'm not going to know much about what Kendrick sings. Pardon me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sound like uncool, guys. I'm just keeping it real.
No, that's fine. And it's totally in my wheelhouse. And right. I will dig it. And you know, it's all about the performance given. And sometimes we just jump the gun and be like, he's going to be great. Show me, like you talked about, the Dre performance and the way it was constructed and the stage presence and all the things that they did. That was fun. But I also think, you know, again, you have to have the cachet to pull this off. And so hopefully for those people who love Kendrick Lamar, it'll be great. But I was curious if he was bringing out anybody, because wasn't Lil Wayne complaining about not being a part of this?
He was upset that he wasn't asked because it was in New Orleans.
That's right.
And he had sort of, I don't want to say openly campaigned for it, but he was sort of pining that it was him and it wasn't him, and it was a kind of public sort of like, oh, I'm not happy I didn't get it, but he went back and said he's cool with Kendrick doing it now.
So I guess if Master P wants to go to a halftime show, he's got to buy a ticket.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to
Silk the Shocker, yeah.
Yeah, you got all these New Orleans folks that are going to buy a ticket. All right, man.
What about those sellout Ying Yang Twins? They use their song down there.
They do.
They are Atlanta.
They do. Yeah. Hey, coming up, we got a big 6 o'clock hour in front of us. By the way,
this song, real quick, guys,
yeah, man.
On Spotify.
Yeah.
1.1 billion listens.
Yeah, because it's two things. It's one, a diss track, but it's also a club banger. So you get both of those things, and it's a rare combination, Turtle, because if you go out, you hear this. You go to the stadium, you hear this. Mm. That's the rareness of this. So I believe that.
Just imagine being Drake, just 1.1 billion streams of this song. Just dissing you to pieces.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Isn't he suing? Oh, that's a whole other story. Hey, man, coming up 6 o'clock hour, the most important story of the day. We got Hawks basketball tonight as they take on the Rockets. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.